So picture this. You are trapped on a Yukon glacier. Your plane is sinking into the slush, and you actually had to ditch like 900 pounds of gear just so your pilot can escape.
And then you have to hike 150 miles through total wilderness, right?
Exactly. It is pure survivalist adrenaline. But now imagine taking that exact energy and, injecting it into a dusty, boring museum in Boston.
Quite a transition.
Yeah. Welcome to today's deep dive. We've got a really fascinating stack of sources today, museum archives, historical design notes, to figure out how American science museums escape their static past to become, well, kinetic playgrounds. And we're focusing on the Boston Museum of Science and its legendary Mathematica exhibit.
Because, I mean, if you rewind to the 1830s, museums were the exact opposite of kinetic. You'd walk into a cabinet of curiosity and just look at dead stuffed animals.
Right, just glass cases everywhere.
Yeah, you were supposed to quietly absorb knowledge just by standing near these motionless habitat dioramas.
Which is essentially like being trapped inside a 3D textbook.
Yeah.
But then in 1939, that mountaineer from the Yukon, H. Bradford Washburn, takes over.
Oh, and he completely flips the script. I mean, he secures the land for Boston's Science Park for a single dollar a year.
Wait, just $1?
Just a dollar a year. And instead of more taxidermy, he brings in massive tech. Like, he gets this colossal Van de Graaff generator from MIT.
The one that throws actual indoor lightning bolts.
Yeah,
And okay, let's unpack this. By swapping taxidermy for giant radioactive cloud chambers, did Washburn essentially build an amusement park to like cure Cold War anxieties about falling behind in science?
basically, yeah. Rather than just reading a textbook about atoms, he brought in actual tanks filled with alcohol vapor. You could physically watch the invisible tracks of background radiation zapping through the air.
Wow.
He made the invisible atomic age physical and visible. He proved that physical spectacle really worked to get kids engaged.
But I guess lightning and radiation are inherently flashy, right? The real challenge came later. How do you take something notoriously abstract and dry like mathematics
Yeah.
and give it that same visceral Washburn energy?
Well, that perfectly sets up 1981 when the museum prominently installed its masterpiece, Mathematica. Though it was actually designed back in 1961 by Charles and Ray Ames.
Right, for IBM. And thinking about 1961, computers were just starting to enter the workplace. IBM was probably dealing with a public terrified of automation.
Oh, for sure.
So they needed this massive PR campaign to make computation look friendly and beautiful.
Exactly. They needed to demystify the underlying logic of these new machines. So the Amesies built these mesmerizing analog devices, like the Galton board.
I love that one.
It's amazing, right? It drops tens of thousands of plastic balls through a maze of pegs. You watch them bounce chaotically, but they always stack perfectly into a predictable Gaussian bell curve at the bottom.
And then there's the soap dipping machine. It lowers these complex 3D wireframes into a vat of soapy water, and when they pull up, the bubbles automatically snap into the perfect minimal mathematical surface area.
It's like magic.
It really is. It essentially tricks you into learning advanced mathematical theory by making it look like a gorgeous toy.
But not everyone loved that trick. Benoit Mandelbrot, the pioneer of fractal geometry, famously called the exhibit, quote, "violently anti-fractal propaganda."
Wait, violently anti-fractal.
Yeah. He argued that by making math look so perfectly smooth and predictable, they were hiding the infinite chaotic roughness of true mathematical reality.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because I have to push back on Mandelbrot a bit here. Isn't that smooth neatness totally necessary for a learner?
How so?
It's like using a perfectly round globe to teach a kid geography. We all know the real Earth is bumpy and irregular, but you don't hand a lumpy potato to a third grader to explain the equator right. You have to start with the clean abstraction.
That is a totally fair point. It is a calculated trade-off. They sacrificed a bit of that chaotic reality to actually reach the public, using the aesthetics of play to make intimidating concepts accessible.
And it wasn't just physical machines either. They built a massive 40-foot history wall to map the entire intellectual history of the field.
Which was surprisingly ahead of its time in some ways. The timeline included medieval Islamic and Indian scholars like Al-Khwarizmi and Bhaskar II.
Showing that modern math relies heavily on a non-Western heritage. But there's a pretty massive structural bump right there on the wall. They literally titled it Men of Modern Mathematics.
Right, which paints a false picture of scientific discovery as this linear progression of solitary male geniuses. That's why modern curators recently updated that mid-century timeline.
Just to bring us up to speed.
Yeah, the sources note they brought it into the present by adding the profound contributions of women and extending the timeline to cover modern data science.
It makes the exhibit a living document. And stepping back, what's so striking about Mathematica today is how different it is from the rest of the museum. Modern exhibits are all about touching screens, moving levers.
Using your whole body, yeah. Today's philosophy heavily relies on you being part of the experiment.
Right. But Mathematica just sits there, completely timeless and quietly hypnotic, right next to the roaring artificial lightning of Washburn's Theater of Electricity.
It really proves that sometimes simply observing a beautiful mechanism can be just as powerful as physically interacting with it.
Which leaves you with something pretty fascinating to ponder.
Oh, what's that?
If IBM hired Charles and Ray Ames today to ease our modern anxieties about artificial intelligence, what kind of mesmerizing physical clockwork machine would they build to demystify the invisible algorithm secretly running your life?